Yes, we do pray in one accord tonight to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is also our Father and our God. We do ask that give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We do confess that many times we do not understand and we have not seen. We do ask that the Holy Spirit to speak to us this evening, to give us revelation and light, and give us a supply of life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This morning we saw that God commanded us that all the males had to come up to Jerusalem to worship on the days of the feast. And in particular, it's mentioned that the males should come. In the Bible, males should be the stronger ones. We all need to be a strong brother in our spirit. Not just mean that we are strong in a lot of activities, but that we would be living in our spirit. Whether you're a brother or a sister, we all need to be a person living in the spirit. If we are a person living in the spirit, we are all strong. Strong males. In the Word of God, He said that all the males had to come. So, brothers and sisters, did Paul not pray in the book of Ephesians that the Father, through His Holy Spirit, that He would strengthen our inner man through the Spirit? We all need to be strengthened. We all need to be strong. And we need our inner man to be strengthened. We don't need to show that we're very strong outwardly. Today we are the people of God. The strength is in the inner man. The inner man is victorious. It's only if you are strong can Christ make His home in your hearts. To be strong doesn't mean that you're very loud. In God's house, We need to be strong. In the body of Christ, it's something inward. That is why the Bible says there's the inner man. If you're strong, it doesn't mean that you're shaking your fists and you're strong. That's the outward strength. But that your inner man needs to be strong. Besides, this strength is through the Holy Spirit. In the past 40 years, among the churches, of course, it just started some 50 years ago. We young people would stand up and jump around as if we were very strong. I've been there and done that too. When I'm talking about this, I should hide my face. Because we all wanted to be strong, right? And then to be strong, we have to exercise our fists. This is the strength of the outer man. But in the Bible, in order to be a spiritual male, it has to be inward. You have to be strong inwardly. You don't need to be strong outwardly. If you're just strong outwardly, you'll be quarreling with people. You need to be strong inwardly. Thank the Lord. Today, as God's people, we need to be strong inwardly. If you're strong inwardly, you cannot be shaken. Whether people scold you or whether people like you, it's all the same to you because you're strong inwardly and you will not be affected. If you're only strong outwardly, someone touches you and then you will start fighting. You will react immediately. Once you react, it exposes the fact that you are not a strong spiritual male. If you're scolded by others and you will not have any reaction, then you are truly a spiritual male. But if people would just criticize you and say just a word to you and you'll fall down on your face, can it be said that you're a female? No, there are no females, just males here. I quit. No. God needs his spiritual army. We all need to learn. Truly so, brothers and sisters. You have to be strong inwardly. God wants us to be strong, not outwardly, but inwardly. Look at our Lord Jesus when he was on the earth. He was scolded by people daily. Even people wanted to kill him. He was despised. He went through a lot of difficulties. Did he fall down? Did he start quarreling, fighting? Did he just express his flesh? Did he say, forget it, I want to go home? Your people are not worthy that I would die. I should die for you. Would you do that? Or would you have done that? Do not be like that. Do not be like that. How about Peter? He felt that he was very strong. But he was strong outwardly. He even told the Lord Jesus, "You want to go die? I'll accompany you." He was very strong. But when the time came, did he accompany the Lord to die? Did he? He ran away. He disappeared. Don't know where he went. That is not strength. That is an outward strength. But today, we want to be a worshiper, then we need to be strong inwardly. You young people need to learn to be strong inwardly. If the brothers or the elders say something to you and then your face just changes, your facial expression would change. From being pale, you turn red. That would not be good. It doesn't mean to say that, oh, I have to be a submissive person. No. No. But be a person who is strong inwardly. You are not affected. And you do not express your flesh. And you do not quarrel. You are not quarrelsome. This is being strong. When the Lord Jesus was judged in front of Pontius Pilate and all the high priests, the Lord was very strong. He was scolded. He was beaten. He was abused. Was he moved? Did he get angry? Did he lose his temper? Did he answer back? Did he? No. How about us? We can't make it. Because our inner man is not strong. In order to worship, the inner man needs to be strong. This is a principle. You must come, it says. Would you come? Come to do what? Come to have a Sunday worship? Come to a so-called Sunday worship. Do you have to be strong? You just come in the car and then you go home again? You don't need to be strong. But if you come and you need to bring along a bull, or bring some sheep or cattle, and you have to come all the way from the north, or you may pass out halfway, and you're so slow, by the time you get to Jerusalem, the feast day is already over. Everyone would be going home, and then it's only then that you arrive. The meeting is almost over, then you show up. Lord Jesus. Tell me, is that good? Of course, there's an English saying, better late than never. You want to come to worship God and God has to wait for you? Actually, who is waiting for whom? Isn't that right? I'm not encouraging you to come early. I'm telling you that our inner man needs to be strong. If your inner man is strong and says, oh, today I'm going to go worship, if you have a class, you have a class at 10 o'clock, and you show up at 11:55, would you do that? No. But to the meeting. Oh, I'm not done with this yet. I'm not done with this yet. Oh, I'm tired. Let me rest a little bit more. Oh, 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes. And by the time you come to the meeting's already over. The inner man needs to be strong. If your inner man is strong, if you're going to worship, then you'll be well prepared long beforehand. You would be prepared with what you're going to bring with you, and your heart would be ready to come keep the feast. You have to bring a bull, a sheep, and bring your first fruits. You have to bring them along. How about that? In this way, you truly would be a person who is strong inwardly. Then you are a spiritual male. Amen. Thank the Lord. When you have a store, right? But then on the Lord's Day, you just close the store and says, no, I'm going to go worship. Don't say, oh, on Sunday, I have the most customers. Oh, it's too bad. How about opening up the store every other Sunday? No. Our inner man are strong. I want to go worship. I want to go meet God. The Bible says, oh, come to Jerusalem to meet your God. What are you doing here? Do you come to see me? Did you come here to see me? We all came here to meet God. Then tell me, should God be waiting for you or you waiting for Him? Sophie, what should we do? This is what God commanded His people. But you cannot force this. You cannot force people to do this. I say it in this way I'm speaking this not for you to go scold brothers and sisters. It says, oh, you are late. You folks are late. Next time, come earlier. Otherwise, better not come. If you say it in this way, everybody won't come anymore. And the next Lord's Day, only half the people would come. We should be spiritually strong. We should be strong in our inner man. Because we are coming to meet a glorious God. Do you not have this inward feeling? When you do other things, you're always punctual. Because you're afraid. You're afraid to be late. But when you come to meet the King of Kings, the Lord Jehovah, this glorious God. Oh, we can come slowly. Is that good? No? It's not good. So it all depends on what kind of a sensation you have within you. It's not something that's forced. You don't need to force people. But you need to be a person who can help the brothers and sisters to be strong in their spirit. If a person is not strong and you force him, he cannot lift this thing up. And you just rebuke him. Oh, my brother over there can lift up this table, but I can't do it. Oh, and you force me to lift this table, I won't come next time. That is why in the Lord's house, in God's house, we need to pray for the brothers and sisters. Paul prayed for the brothers and sisters in the church in Ephesus that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of riches of his glory through his Spirit, he would strengthen us in the inner man. Isn't this a good prayer? Do not just encourage. You should pray for all the saints daily. Especially the responsible brothers. Sometimes you just encourage people, oh, you've got to be like this, you've got to do this. Does it have any effect? You have to pray for the saints that they would become a male. Thank the Lord. That's why you see that Paul really knew the triune God. He prayed to the Father that for you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, this all has to do with the triune God. You have to know God before you can have such a prayer. Otherwise, you could just pray, Lord, Lord, let he who be strong. And in your prayer, there's no Father, there's no Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, have mercy on Kihu and just let him be strengthened. This is my prayer. But Paul's prayer was different. in his prayer, there was the Father. There's the riches of his glory. And there's the Holy Spirit. And there's the inner man. And there's also Jesus Christ. He truly knew God. Learn. We all need to learn. Otherwise, it's useless for us to come here. I hope that we all would learn. That we all would learn. Don't just come to listen to messages, but come to learn. Be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come learn. That's why when we come to this point, you can look at the outline. All the males, B2, should appear before the Lord. He is Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah. He is the Almighty God. He is the great God, the eternal God, and glorious God. It is not a small matter to come appear before him. Do you dare to be loose? So you need to be strong in your spirit. Each time when we come here to keep the feast, do not just say to break bread. But learn to add a little bit. I come to keep the feast. Amen. Oh, on the Lord's Day, where are you going? Oh, to break bread. That's too general, too common. But if you come to keep the feast, oh, this realm is enlarged. And then you would have the sense within you. Truly so? When you come to keep the feast, did you come out of the world? Or are you still in Egypt? Are you still taken over by the world in your heart? If my heart is still occupied by the world, say, I cannot come. But when you come, when you eat of this bread, and you drink this cup, and you go back, it doesn't have any effect. You know for yourself. But I don't want to be like that. When I eat this bread and I drink this cup, I come to keep the feast. You have to remember, I came out of Egypt. One brother said, when he comes to eat this bread and drink this cup, he remembers that the world has crucified our Lord. It's the world that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. And would you go and love the world? How about that? That's not good. That is why. Why do you need to keep the feast? Why do you need to keep the Passover? Because the Lord said, your children would ask you, Why do you keep the feast? You need to tell your children. Our ancestors were in Egypt. They were enslaved there. They were abused there. And in the end, they cried out to their God. And he used his almighty hand to save them out of Egypt. You have to tell them the story. Otherwise, your children, your next generation would not know. They come eat the bread and they don't know why they come to eat the bread. Young people, they're baptized and they come to break the bread. They think that, since I'm baptized, I can eat this bread. But nobody told them the story about the coming out of Egypt. So the old Apostle John told the people around him in 1 John, he says, do not love the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This word is a very serious word, very powerful word. That is why keeping the feast is not just, thank the Lord he died for me. My sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm okay. And I go back to sin again. No. This is not the way to keep the feast. So, when you keep the feast, you have to consider the fact that we came out of Egypt. On the other hand, just as Paul wrote the book of Colossians, God brought us out of the power of darkness. He saved us out of the power of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is to look at it from another angle. You thank the Lord for what? There are many aspects. Now, it all depends on whether you are keeping the feast or not. I know that the brothers and sisters do not have this concept. Perhaps you heard this teaching before, but you forgot about it. When you come to break the bread, when you come to keep the feast, have you ever considered that it's the feast of the unleavened bread? Have you? Do you come to keep the feast of unleavened bread? You don't just come to eat the bread. Ask yourself. If you just come to eat the bread, and then after you eat, you go home. Amen. Oh, the hour's over. We stop singing. And then we listen to the message. And it's over. And we'll come back the next week. Is this how it is? If you keep the feast, then you have to continuously for 7 days to eat the unleavened bread. and purge out all the problems in you. But you didn't do that. Oh, there's a problem in your heart, and it's been a year, and it's still there. You did not purge it. The sin is still there, and you do not purge it up. The malice is still there. The flesh, the quarrels, being so quarrelsome, the hatred. Like the brothers and sisters and the church in Corinth. And in the church in Corinth, this was even worse. When they came to break bread, it's as if they were having some cake. Why? The brother asked me. Why did Paul say that? Because in the early days, they were influenced by the Jewish background. On the evening of the Passover, every household would be eating their dinner. After they're done with dinner, they would eat the Passover lamb. So they put the two together. And so the Passover was turned into the Lord's table. So when they came in the evening, they had their love feasts. The rich ones brought their own bread, and they ate their own bread and didn't give it to you, and didn't let you eat of it. And they all also brought the wine, and some even became drunken. They were drunk. In the end, you couldn't even differentiate whether it was a bread from the breaking of bread, or it was the bread from your dinner. There was no clear distinction. You could no longer discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I see it in this way? Okay, we come to break bread here. We can all discern. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because there's only one cup and one bread. That's why if you don't understand, you still would understand. But how much do you truly understand? Are you done just by eating that bread? You don't keep the feast of the unleavened bread? Did you? How about us brothers? Much more we need to learn. Truly so. Otherwise, why are you a responsible brother? It's not easy to be a responsible brother. Really so. That's why I'm not a responsible brother. I don't like to be one. I let Jonah go do it. Go be it. If I am a responsible brother, and I myself don't keep the feast, how am I going to be able to help the brothers and sisters to keep the feast? If I don't purge out the leaven that is in me, how can I help the brothers and sisters to purge out the leaven? That is why we always sympathize with man. Actually, we're sympathizing with our flesh. Paul said that to be fleshly is death. But to be spiritually minded, is spirit and life. Because you are not a person who purges out the leaven. So, he didn't purge out the leaven. Well, we're just the same, the two of us, right? We understand each other well. How is that? Is that good? You say, oh, it's just because I love. Oh, I love. This is not love. This is harming you, damaging you. If you're wrong and I don't tell you, does that mean that I love you, Sandy? If I'm wrong, you love me? What should you do? Oh, just forbear, Brother John. Right? It's very good. You've got love, isn't it so? Oh, he has love. If he tells me, oh, Brother John, you're wrong. Is he not afraid that I would stumble? If he scolds me and tells me that I'm wrong, next time I won't come. So, because he loves me, he won't dare to say anything to me. He's afraid that I won't come to the meeting anymore. Oh, he truly has love. He truly has love. Do not think that I don't know. Although I'm not God, but there are many situations, and I know a lot of brothers and sisters. My hair has already grayed. I've known so many people. Many people say you have to love the brothers and you have to be patient with them. Actually, you're afraid to tell them they're wrong. You don't dare to discipline them. Because he might be more fierce than you are. Don't you want to learn? We all need to learn. That's why you need to be a person who keeps the feast. If I am a person who purges out the leaven, only then can I help you to purge out your leaven. This is very natural. This should become our habit. Every week you're purging out the leaven because this is a feast of unleavening. If I see some leaven, I'll say, hey, brother, we need to purge out the leaven. If you don't tell the brothers and sisters to purge out the leaven, don't say, oh, you're too strict. Do I look like a very strict person? I don't know. I have to examine myself. But I like to get rid of all the leaven, the religious leaven, the leaven of hypocrisy. a sin, all kinds of leaven. O Lord, purge it out of me from within. I want to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. It's only in this way that I can be a true worshiper. Do not look down on the feasts, on keeping the feasts. That is why I feel that the two sessions this morning is still not enough. There are seven feasts, so we need at least seven sessions. Because there's so much leaven, what can you do if you don't purge it out? Brother, that would damage the church. If we as responsible brothers, we are afraid to purge to let out the leaven, what else should we do? It's just like policemen who are afraid to catch the thieves. They even become buddies with the thieves. That's even worse. And in the end, they even conspire with the thieves. Tell me, when the Lord comes back, what would He do? It doesn't matter whether we are responsible ones or whether we are just saints in the house of God. We all need to keep the feasts. We all need to come. Unless you don't want to, then you just don't want to. But all the males have to come. That's why you may think that this point is not important. What do you think, Christian, in point number two? The males are very important for keeping the feast. How about the resurrection? The Lord Jesus is the firstborn from among the dead. You know, if there's a firstborn, there's a second and third and so on after him. But the first one is the Lord Jesus. Colossians also tell us he is the firstborn from among the dead in the church. And then how about us? But through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he regenerated us. Our Abba Father regenerated us. I think all the brothers and sisters who are seated here, perhaps it's my mistake as well. I've been coming for so many years and I've never told you. Our regeneration has much to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say that we need to be regenerated in our spirit. We have to be born of the Spirit, but we didn't tell you how to be born of the Spirit. The regeneration has much to do with the resurrection. If the Lord Jesus had not resurrected, then we would cannot be regenerated. But how come we're regenerated, but yet we still live in death? Earlier I said the Father who regenerated us. No, we have been regenerated through the Spirit. Through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. sounded the same in Chinese. We were regenerated through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think that for the resurrection you have to be like Martha, you have to wait. I know that when you come again in the last days, all the dead will rise again. The Lord Jesus said, no, no, no. I am the resurrection. We're born again. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Do you know the Spirit that dwells in you? What kind of a spirit is it? Do you know what you... I guess you know what verse I want to mention. Jonah. Which verse am I going to use? Christian. Romans chapter 8. If indeed the Spirit who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Verse 11. Exactly. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. Romans 8:11. It dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You would come alive. That's why, isn't this related to the resurrection? This is a feast of resurrection. We only praise Him that He resurrected. But that resurrection has nothing to do with you. Like we celebrate Easter, but the resurrection has nothing to do with you. But the power of resurrection swallows up the death. It even causes the mortal body to come alive and not to do the evil things. That we would be freed from the law of the spirit of sin and death. If we all have such experience, if all of you would have such experience in Singapore, the church in Singapore would be living. And there'll be fire. There'll be fire. It'll be burning. It'll be powerful. Overcome death. Do you want that in the church in Singapore? Oh, Lord Jesus. That is why you should not look down on the fact that we come to keep the feast. The first fruits, a resurrection from the dead. And the Lord Jesus was the firstborn. Thank the Lord. He can rise up from the dead. He is in us, and He can resurrect in us too. But we have a song we all know how to sing. Christ arose from the dead. And we rose with Him. Christ our Lord is risen from the dead. And with Him, we also. We rose with Him. Is this a teaching, a doctrine? do not think that Satan's weapons is just to cause you to sin. Satan's greatest weapon is death. Now, how do you overcome? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus. That's why Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Death cannot overcome our Lord Jesus, right? Can it overcome you? You need to have the assurance to say, he can't either. Amen. Is this a joke? No. No. Because the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So each Lord's Day, when we come to keep the feast, you have to be strong. You not only died with Christ, but you also rose again with the Lord Jesus. We have to be like that. We have to keep the feast in this way. Oh, Lord Jesus. If you begin to have such a sensation within you, you tell the Lord, Lord, we are so short. We're far too short. Some even stand up to quarrel in the middle of a bread-breaking meeting. What should we do? We eat the bread and drink the cup, and we fight with one another? Oh, what a combination. What a combination. Perhaps you have never seen this, but I've seen something like that. And I also heard about things like that. You don't believe it. I have seen this. When I was young, I saw people coming to the meetings with pistols. You haven't seen that. You come to meet your God and you want to bring a gun with you? You want to shoot him or what? Why do you bring a gun with you? You are laughing. It sounds funny, but you cannot imagine that people would do that. If you want to listen to stories, I've got a lot of stories to tell. So you don't know. When everybody comes here, they seem like they're so well behaved. They come to sing and they go home. But let me tell you, when they become fierce in their flesh, they're terrible. The time is up. If I have time, perhaps I would tell you a few more stories. No. I won't be telling so many stories. But my point is, you have to come in a proper way in your spirit to keep the feast. Do not forget that we come before God to keep the feast. Because if you keep the feast in this way, within these 7 days, you will experience Christ daily as your offering. And you'll be preparing the offerings. Amen. I'll come back tomorrow.